Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Oh, my office is a shambles right now. It's a complete shambles because I have to turn it into a little video studio to make it have the proper angles and stuff because we're shooting, they're all behind the scenes. We're shooting the next batch of 20 Max for 2020 videos, me and Stephen Hackett today, which means I need to get my office like presentable and remove junk and also evidence of other Macs that are going to be shown in the future so as not to cause like spoilers. So I've been moving stuff around and
my office is always exhausting. A shambles, so I feel your pain.
Well, it's a different kind of differently shaped shambles today is what I'm saying, so
yeah,
that's going on.
You've reshambled it.
I have. Well, this has been a big project for me and it's taken up a lot of my time, so I got a boost from this app Descript, which lets me edit like I'm editing text. That's been great. That's been very helpful. It's still a lot of work, but in a few hours I can put together a script. It's actually, this week's been funny because this week has been a replenishing week in terms of my 20 Max for 2020 content because I've been doing lots of interviews about the next batch of selections for future podcasts because I'm almost out of interviews. I'm completely out of videos. Well, that's not the one that goes up Monday. I have it's done. It's already ready to go. So that I've moved on, but I'm completely out of out of videos. And I've been doing a lot of that, a lot of extra podcast stuff, extra video stuff, and also trying to push forward my writing because my writing gap is diminishing weekly. There's a lot going on with that project is what I'm saying, but I feel like I'm, after putting in all the effort to get it kind of up and running and making sense, now I'm in the point where I'm giving it another big push to get it, realistically, not to get it to the end, but to get it to the next place where I push it over the finish line. I'm planning on two more batches, another batch of podcast interviews, another batch of videos after the ones we shoot today. And that'll be the end of the project. Thank goodness. Well, it's only 20 weeks.
Yeah. It's less than half a year.
Yeah. Yeah. So on December 14th, I can,
kick back and relax.
I'll screech into the finish line. No, I'll go across it full speed. Let's say I'll say
and
that.
And then you'll be all set for 21 Max for 2021.
Oh God. And I'll also point out that that the series currently is slated to end on December 14th.
Right.
I'm just saying there's 2 weeks after that, so slides a little bit. Maybe there's a Thanksgiving break. I have some places I can get ahead again if I am desperate. So we'll see how it goes.
Got a budget for that.
Nothing like doing that in public, though. Giving yourself a deadline in public. So we'll see how it goes.
Sure.
What's up with you? What's new with you? Tell me about Dan. Let's have some Dan time.
So much, Jason. I feel like both with your project, as you describe, and with stuff that I work on, it's that proverbial duck thing, right? Where it's like, what? We're gliding over the water.
Oh, the proverbial duck that's working really, really hard.
Yes.
That duck, yes.
That duck. Are you familiar? Have you met that duck?
Yes, indeed, I have.
So, yeah, I've got things that I've been working on, and stuff that both personally and professionally are things that I are coming for me but require a lot of work and stuff that I don't always talk about in public.
It's that usual thing where you make an announcement at some point, whether it's a professional thing or a personal thing, and you're like, oh, I did this thing, and it was like, oh, great, good job. And if you think about it for a minute, you're like, oh wow, that must have taken a huge amount of your time over the last month, year, whatever. It's like, yes, but in this one moment it's just an announcement, right? But there's all the stuff that goes
every book is like that, right? Because whenever I write a book, and like especially when that book comes out and people are like, your book is great, I read it in a day, and it's like, cool. Extremely flattering and lovely to have somebody tell you that they liked your work that much that they consumed it that quickly. And same thing with podcasts or, pieces that you've worked hard on.
Mm-hmm.
Your 20 Max project is a great example. Like, people are going to watch the video or listen to the podcast, and it, maybe it's 5, 10, 20 minutes long.
Yeah, video's 5 minutes long. The podcast, 16 maybe minutes long. I'm like, great.
That's great. When's the next one?
Took a lot of work. Next week. Oh, God. Or
exactly.
Later. There's a lot of stuff happening under the surface, and I know you've been doing a lot of that personally and professionally this last couple of weeks, so...
Yeah. So, I mean, so stuff progresses and you try to balance it with stuff that, like, you know, you actually get those shorter pieces and other things that you're working on week to week and day to day out there, whether it be podcasts or writing or what have you, just to keep, you know, everyone from not thinking that you've disappeared somewhere into a bunker.
Or literally just not doing anything, which is not the case, right?
But never the case.
Doing the work beneath the waterline is a challenge when you're so much of your work is public, because people are like, well, what are you doing exactly? The flip side of that, though, I was listening to Connected this week, and Mike and Steven were kind of talking Federico off the ledge a little bit about his iOS review, because there was the Mark Gurman report that the iOS review or the iOS was release was going to happen in September.
Yeah.
It was not going to get delayed. And Federico was like, because he's not ready and he's got more work to do. And I appreciated that because, and he's working hard on that, but it's been a tough, we should just say it's 2020, right? Like, it's been hard for everybody. It's hard for everybody out there. I'm sure you've run into your own challenges personally, professionally. It's hard. But you talk about the duck beneath the waterline. Like, the other side of it is those projects that maybe should be happening beneath the waterline, but aren't.
Right.
And, like, I've got those. Like, have I put in enough, what I feel is appropriate enough time thinking about an iOS 14 review or an iPad OS 14 review? Although you wrote the first look for iPad OS 14. So, I mean, you get it if you want it. But, and do I need to do one anyway? And a Big Sur review, I mean, at least I wrote my Big Sur first look on the public beta, and I think Big Sur is going to come later, so I think I'm going to be able to hit that. But, like, I have spent so much less time thinking about what I want to say about the betas, and really with the betas. I finally did put iOS 14 on my iPhone this week, my actual iPhone, and I have been living with Big Sur for a couple of weeks on my main Mac now. Which has been hilarious. You and I have both discovered great things like not being able to connect to Big Sur Max as a file server. The latest beta, I can't connect to my file server using SMB, but strangely, I can with AFP. I don't know. At least I can get to my files.
For me, but I have no idea. I don't know which protocol it was even using. Well, I just sort of clicked on the sidebar. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's working.
Yeah.
But yeah. Stuff is wonky. Stuff breaks.
Didn't do it for me. So,
but I had the problem. I'm using it now, at least. Thing with the file sharing. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is part of the thing of, like, I've been so busy with other stuff that some of this stuff has been laying there. And the one that really gets me, and I'm just going to have to spend a weekend to do it, is that Joe Kissel, our friend who does the Take Control eBooks, he contacted me and he said, so we're going to do an iOS 14 and Big Sur update for the photos book you write, right? I'm like, I mean, technically, yes, I guess we are. He said, I'd like that October 15th. I'm like, oh, my God. but actually, what he said was, I expected it in September, and I said, it's not going to happen. He said, how about October 15th? I'm like, okay. And it's that there is demand for an update, and you want to keep the books current, and I get all of that. At the same time, I'm not sure Big Sur will even be done by October 15th. But it'll be close, maybe, but... Anyway, so some weekend I'm going to sit down, and there aren't that many changes. And in fact, I think a lot of the changes I'm going to make to the book are going to be removals, because adding the sidebar on the iPad means that the interface between Mac and iPad is very
much closer
than it was.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the work there is maybe just change, like, screenshots.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's going to be me retaking all the screenshots for the entire book. That's what it's going to be. So that'll be a weekend of fun.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the Gurman report, which I wrote a little thing about on the site, but I'm fascinated by it, if only because it seems like, I don't want to say Apple has done, you know, very little this year. And in some ways, I think what's interesting is that they've seemed like, for the most part, aside from the normal adjustments that they've had to make for 2020, such as doing WWC remotely, they actually have produced a lot. Like, it feels like things are coming out of Cupertino on a regular basis. And the Gurman report suggests, I like that. It makes it sound like, you know, like something about the JFK assassination or something. Ah, yes. Have you read the Gurman Report? There's a lot in the pipeline for the fall. I mean, and fall tends to be a big season for Apple, and obviously it's the run-up to the holiday season, and nobody really knows what the holiday season's going to look like this year. Obviously, the economy is kind of all over the place, depending on what indicators you want to look at. But it certainly seems as though this year may not be as dissimilar. You know, the timeline will be different for products releasing. But I think, you know, it certainly sounds like, you know, new iPhones, pretty much a lock, even if they come later or they come in staggered releases or they don't get released at the same time as iOS 14. We're still expecting an Apple Silicon Mac in there somewhere. We're still expecting, it sounds like iPad might get revamped. There's all these wild cards around things like smaller HomePods and an Apple TV refresh. And, you know, not all of these things will come to pass, but it certainly seems as though there is a lot that could still happen between now and the end of the year. It's just a question of when and a question of how much of it.
Yeah, and why does Apple choose the timing it does? That's one of the questions I have is, like, why, if you aren't shipping an iPhone until, let's say, late September or early October, and they haven't announced it, and that's out there, too. It's like, how are they going to announce it? When are they going to announce it? Is that going to be a pre-announced event? Or are they just going to drop a video?
Are they going to announce it several weeks before the phone ship if they want to do something around iOS 14? I don't know.
Yeah, like, we don't know. But let's say that they do that. Like, why put out iOS 14 before the iPhone ships? Like, why? Yeah. Other than maybe feeling like they don't want to do too much at one time, and that rolling out the iPhone is a thing that they should, because they learned that lesson, right? There was that one time where they dropped everything at the same moment,
and they don't do that
their
anymore.
Servers died, and they don't do that anymore. They kind of roll them out in a little bit more of a wave, but still, I like, unless you feel like it's really done, or unless you feel like you really ought to just, I don't know, like, I don't see there being a scenario where they really ought to just ship it and then move on to 14.1 and fix the bugs or whatever. Like, I other than the fact that there's probably going to be a official build on the phones that they're built with, but why would you not just put that on the phones and then continue working on it, ship the 14.01 to everyone and make it an update to the new phones, so when they plug in they get an update, right? Like, I don't understand about exposing users of old iPhones to iOS 14 3 weeks earlier if you could use that time, which they could use that time. They could always use that time. Why ship it in September if you could put it off and ship it when the phones ship? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the strongest argument, as you said, is the idea that they just don't want everything done at once. And also, I don't know, maybe there's something in it for, I don't want to say appeasing, it's not quite the right word, but like giving something of all these people who are not buying new iPhones, giving them, making them feel special. I don't know, like there's, but I agree with you. It seems like if you have the luxury of more time, and maybe luxury is overselling it, but if you have flexibility in your schedule because you aren't releasing those phones, then yeah, use those last few weeks. Because, I mean, it's not as though by that point, it's not as though the phones aren't pretty much locked, right? Like, it's not like 3 weeks out they're deciding what to put on the phones, probably. I don't know how long the shipping, you know, lag there is, but it seems like they've probably decided by then. So maybe they feel like if we're shipping it on the phone anyways, we'll release it to the public because it's sort of done. But I don't know. Yeah, it's
right, because you could wait and you could not ship it. If it's on the phone, you don't need to ship that build to
you
the public.
You just do an update. Yeah.
I mean, maybe the public never gets 14.
This was an issue a year. Wasn't there an issue with this a year? Was it last year or 2 years ago that they didn't? Yeah. Anyways, it's not that big a deal, honestly, at this point. And since we're now in the phase where they're releasing betas updates pretty much every week, it certainly seems as though they're in that, you know, rapid iteration process where they're going to be making sure everything, you know, they're putting as much time in fixing all the bugs that they can before they have to release it. So, you know, a couple more rounds of betas isn't going to hurt anybody. But yeah, I don't know. I it's going to be interesting because, like, you know, I was looking back at the patterns of Apple events over the last several years and discovered that, like, iOS has come out pretty much the third week of September every year since iOS 5, I want to say, with maybe one exception. And the Mac OS has bounced around a lot more, including last year when it came out later than I think it ever had before.
Yeah.
In early October, mid-October, something like that.
I don't. Maybe their iOS team is just the one of the ways they motivate them is by saying we ship it on this date regardless. And
yeah,
and then move on, and we've got other stuff to do, because they do have other stuff to do. Presumably, not only do they have to ship probably simultaneously or a little bit early, they have to ship the version of the OS that's going to go on the iPhone. They're going to have to ship a 14.0 that is actually installed on those iPhones that are being manufactured before they ship, right? They have
and,
to do that.
And supports whatever features are in those phones
exactly.
that aren't in existing
that
phones.
That we can't see because they're not there yet. But there's another thing, too, which is there are also rumors that there is an iPad update coming, right?
Right, right.
It's entirely possible that they also need to do an iPad update. So they're not just building the public version for existing devices. They're also working on the version that's going to run on the new phones and a version that's going to run on new iPads. And that's a lot. And I'll throw in that they may even be entangled in the code that's running in Big Sur on Apple Silicon Macs, right?
That's
so
true.
It's entirely possible that what doesn't seem like it makes sense to us, which is, well, why ship it? Why ship iOS in mid-September when you don't have to? If you look at all the other things they're doing, they really need to ship it then, because they've got a bunch of other things they need to do after
sure.
that.
And I mean, it's seems likely that a 14.0.1 release is also already something that is in alpha or something like that, will be.
Yeah, as soon, presumably, there is a 14.0, and this is why I say, why not ship that first? But again, we may not know all the details. Presumably, there's already that moment, which is, okay, we need to get something. I would imagine their first hard deadline is, when do you need to load code on the phones at the factory? And you right. have to declare that as a GM, right? Like, basically, that's a GM. Now, for betas, for beta testers, they could just release a beta that's 14.01 and be like, what about 14.0 final? And they're like, and that would be okay, like, because we would all know what the score was. But you immediately have to make that distinction, which is like, okay, we're not going to get it in now, but that's okay, because we're going to immediately do a hot fix, you know, update 14.0.1 that we're going to assume essentially every phone that is bought will update to the day it comes out of the box. And if right. there's something that isn't ready yet, we'll get it ready by then. And that's, I don't, you know, that's tough. That's tough. I'm glad I'm not in their shoes over something like that, to sync that up with a phone launch and have like software that has to reside on the phone, but it's not the software you want on the phone. Like, that's hard.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think that you go back to it and revisit what we were just talking about. I think it's not hard to see reasons why juggling that many balls, you might want to just get one out and be like, you know what? we're finishing this. We're tying this knot off, and then we're just going to move on to the next thing. And, you know, it will, whatever you get when iOS 14 is released is what will ship on the phone. But by the time the phone arrives, there will be an update and everybody will get that update and we're done. You know, like, there's a lot of stuff to manage. I mean, again, it goes back to our duck metaphor. Like, there's a lot of paddling happening, and we're seeing some of it. A lot of ducks, a lot of quacking. We're seeing some of it because we see all the betas as they come out. But, you know, as we just said, there's stuff in the phones that isn't in the betas. There's new products that haven't been announced yet that need software support. So there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how Apple manages these expectations. You know, I think that was part of the big reason that Luca on the call said that the phones would ship, you know, a few weeks later, even though it was dropped very casually, is because you got to manage expectations, right?
Yeah.
If September, mid-September rolls around, everyone's like, usually there's an iPhone event by now, then people start going a little bit bananas and you know, you start to see really annoying headlines again about how Apple is floundering or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they manage that this year. What the I expect that any event that we see will largely look like what WWDC looked like, essentially, which is,
yeah,
I think it'll be all pre-taped. It will be carefully choreographed, and, you know, it will focus on, you'll have a variety of different people presenting parts of the different product stuff, like all of that. They showed they could do that very well with WWDC and that it could work, you know, and I think there's no reason for them to deviate from that expectation. there's, you know, you don't need people in a theater. You don't need to be able to bring people right. in, whatever. That's not necessary.
Yep. I wonder how much warning they'll give us. Presumably they'll give us warning and stream something live just to give that.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see a week's worth of warning. I mean, nobody has to travel or whatever. It's just, it gives enough time. They like the buildup too, right? Like they want that week's worth of everybody fulminating over what is going to come. What are they going to announce? Right? Like that's free PR for a week. So I don't see why they wouldn't still give you some heads up, but yeah, if people don't need to make travel arrangements, they're certainly not going to give you, I wouldn't imagine they give you much more than that.
Yeah. I mean, they could do it like, surprise, we're doing it tomorrow or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. They could. I mean, if they want the flexibility of being able to schedule it whenever they want. And again, there's no reason that they have to have it on a specific date other than whatever's known to them.
Well, I will say this, we're in the window now, I feel like, and we're really in the window sort of beginning of next week where they could have an event at any time. But if they give us a week's notice, next week is the, I would say, maybe most likely time that they would give us notice, because if they're doing it at the traditional time, I mean, you could argue that maybe if they were doing it at the traditional time, they would do an event on the 9th and they could let us know today or on the 8th because the 7th is Labor Day.
I'm not feeling it.
I don't see, and again, we're back to, I don't see why, especially if they're shipping a little bit late, why they wouldn't do the event a little later in September. Why not? Yeah. Wait.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, the question then, I think, becomes, it goes back to how much time do you give, right? Like, if you say, like, hey, normally we'd be doing an event around now, but we're going to do an event in late September. Like, you know, just planting a flag so that people don't have their freakouts. I don't know. They don't care much about it. But
no, and if they did care, that would be a very easy thing to leak to the Wall Street Journal or something, right?
Sure, right.
Which is sources close to Apple say that the event is going to happen in late September.
Highly, highly suspect. I bet you'll see that story in the next week. I bet you will see someone, whether it's
They announce
Bloomberg
an event.
Or
yeah,
else.
I think you're right.
Yes, I think you will hear just to set expectations and let people know, like, you know, without confirming it. Okay, don't think too much about the middle weeks of September. We're looking at late September, early October, something like that. And again, I mean, there's also the question of how many events do you have, because, you know, there's a lot of big stuff happening, and usually the iPhone and maybe the iPad get packaged into an event, but sometimes the iPad and the Mac are in an event, sometimes the Mac has a separate event, and you know, if they're going to release an Apple Silicon Mac, that's a big deal, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like they want to spend some time. But
agreed.
The other argument against that is, like, when you're closely producing an event, I guess you can make it as long as you want, and you could focus, you can cut everything very precisely. So, like, you could do it all in one, but it feels overloaded.
My argument is the amount of work to do a 2-hour event with iPhone and Mac versus 2 1-hour events or whatever. It's different. There's more work in doing two events than one, but there's not a lot more work if you're producing the video. If all it is a video, you're producing more video. And I know it's more work, but I guess my point is, if I were a decision maker, and I'm not, I would say 2 events, because while I love that everybody cares about the iPhone and we'll get the most eyeballs on the iPhone announcement, I don't want to give this Apple Silicon thing short shrift. Assuming I've got a really exciting Apple Silicon Mac to launch with. Now, there is that rumor that it's just the 12-inch MacBook that we've been thinking would be the first ARM Mac for 5 years. And then Ming-Chi Kuo said, maybe not. And now China Times is saying, no, that's what it is. Could it be that they just do a tossed off, like, oh, and we got a new MacBook coming? I don't think so. I think they got to make a big deal of it. And that leads me back to, why tuck that into an iPhone event? Because the iPhone's going to be the number one story. So if you put this Apple Silicon Mac in the iPhone event, you kind of want it to not be the number one story. And maybe if you think that this is not your big bang, this is just an initial launch. But I feel like they want to make hay about how great the Apple processors are. Also, keep in mind, if there's an iPad announcement, which there may or may not be an iPad Pro announcement coming. I know there's a rumor about an iPad Air, but there's been a rumor about an iPad Pro. But that, there's that too, right? Which is, what processor goes in that first Silicon Mac? And is it like an A12Z, like as in the current iPad Pro, which is a 2-year-old processor, but would probably be fine in a 12-inch MacBook. And they would want to make a big deal out of it. But if there's a new processor, that's for the Mac. You'd want to make a big deal out of that too. So I guess the answer is we can't really tell, and both of these concepts are valid, and it kind of depends on what Apple has in store for the Mac and the iPad, whether they deserve a second event or not. But my feeling is kind of having a second day where you're a big story is better than having one day where you're a big story, because it's two, and two is better than one.
Yeah, I mean, and it opens up the, again, Apple likes a little bit of press, so, you know, when they announce their event and they announce all the stuff, there's always the, but they didn't talk about this, they didn't talk about X, Y, and Z, like, is that still coming? Yeah, it's
more... You're forward promoting the
exactly
the next thing.
I know.
Careful listeners might have noticed earlier, about 5 minutes ago, that there was a loud sound that might have sounded like a truck, but was, I assure you, a hissing cat behind me. So that's great.
Well, you might have also noticed a loud sound that sounded like a bus, which was a bus.
Which was a bus.
And that good bus times. Has not run down my street for several months, and it started again this week.
Oh!
Which is occasionally the bus that my wife takes to work. But yeah, it's back. It was suspended for a while, but they have re-implemented
Nature is healing. Buses are returning.
Nature is healing. Buses have returned to their natural habitats. The call of the bus as it drives past.
Mm. Well, I think that's enough for this week. Who knows what, I mean, I feel like we're in a point now where we don't even know. Like, next week we could be talking about Apple events or iPhones or who knows what. We're going to get into the very interesting season very shortly, I think. We appreciate everybody who supports this podcast and Six Colors in general. Posted Stephen Hackett's thing on the site this week. That's a members only thing. That's his column every month. Dan's, we had two this week because Dan's back page, which goes up on the last day of the month, went up too. I like that. It's the back page of the month.
It gave me an extra weekend to think about it too,
did.
Which was nice because I was halfway through it and I was like, I can't finish this
today.
Thank
you, calendar.
Gave
you a
blessings
reprieve.
Bestowed upon us.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why. That's why sometimes calendar is friendly to us. But anyway, sometimes. Thank you for supporting us and the writing we do and the talking we do. And drop into that Slack channel if you haven't had a chance. You go to your member page and there's a link to get an invite to the Slack conversation, which is fun. A lot of different channels, a lot of different talk going on. And we appreciate your support. And we'll be back next week. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.